meditate by me the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
As a child, I believed nearly anything my parents and friends told me. And I believed them because I so deeply believed they desired the best for me. I was labeled as most gullible by my friends into high school because I thought all my friends were in my corner. So if my best friends and teammates told me Mia Hamm, who some of you may know, a famous female soccer player, was coming to one of our practices, I was all in. Of course, after a while, this got old, and I had a mini existential crisis. Wait, I think they're having fun at my expense. And though this is all in good fun, I became more and more skeptical about humanity in general, and then our purpose in this world, and then finally God. At a young age, we are gifted with an innate faith. As children, this faith is recognized in the hopes we place in our parents, siblings, friends. Of course, they want what is best for us. Of course, they know what is good for us, and they are part of that good. And then, as most of us know, life happens. We get older. Our parents seem a little bit more out of touch, or maybe a lot out of touch. Our friends trick us, strangers steal, and people begin to fear one another and act out of that fear. And yet, we are called to navigate life with a more considered faith as we get older, one that draws us deeper and seeks a deeper understanding still of our God and our purpose as God's creations. The simplicity of that childlike faith that we're born with is challenged by the reality that all is not well with the world, and there is much disharmony in our communities at home, in our cities, our nation, sometimes even in our parishes. Now we can simply turn our eyes to our cell phone or flip the news to hear about the thoughtlessness of politicians, shocking gun violence, and the persistent demonization of various groups of all kinds, whether they're Republican, Democrat, Black, Latino, Muslim, evangelical Christians, progressives, conservatives, you name it. No one can escape being demonized. And it's hard to stay grounded. It's hard to stay grounded in faith when so much of what we believe is good is cast into the shadows in exchange for the sensationalism of a base reaction. Now more than ever do we need to turn to an example of human faith to better understand where God is calling us today. Abraham was very old, and Sarah was also old, but also barren. Unable to have children, they were utterly alone. Their lived experience was one in which each passing year, without an heir, without a child, without family, their hope diminished. The lineage of Sarah and Abraham would die with them. They would be forgotten with no children to pass along their names, to pass along all their stories, and there was no afterlife in their faith, no kingdom of heaven that we've become so accustomed to. So your name, your identity, who you are and who you have been, was passed along through your children. And yet, despite his old age, despite his barren wife, Abraham held on to hope that God would make promises and keep them. And Abraham did not shy away from these difficult conversations. He persevered in what seemed like the most strange way. If you turn back to the Genesis passage that was read earlier, you'll see that there's an unanswered question. Abram has to ask twice for God's giving of an offspring. A conversation that went a little bit like this. Abram, I've got everything covered. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. And Abram responds, thank you, Lord God, thank you. I believe you. And what will you give me? I don't have any children. God doesn't respond. So Abram tries again in a much more direct way, which I think is relatively surprising. Okay, you haven't given me an heir, so some random person from my community will be my heir. Abraham persists in questioning God, asking a second time in a much more direct way. And there's a lot to learn from the scene about God, about God's people. But in our current climate, and in light of the Hebrews reading today, I think we should take note of Abraham's persistent faith that God will keep God's promises in spite of an environment hostile to hope. So, some of you may be thinking, yes, of course faith takes perseverance and hope. And the question I've been turning over and over is how that faithful perseverance takes shape in faith communities stressed by the ever-present divisive rhetoric in news and on social media, the violence that we all see and hear about, and the degradation of basic human rights. It is a delicate conversation. How is God leading us as a people of faith? And one that takes careful perseverance, modeled like the conversation between Abram and God. It's respectful, but it's direct and ongoing. These conversations are happening in the seminary community up in Suwannee and other seminary communities. Conversations around racial healing. And I think it is an incredibly important for these seminaries to be having these conversations in order to form future clergy. Yet I think it is equally important that our parish communities, especially those who have a history of racial inequality, to have conversations about what is going on in our world, not just racially, but other things, and how we are going to explore ways to engage with the world as a people of faith. I tell people here and at seminary that I love my home parish. I love St. Paul's, and it really does feel like home. And I don't love it because it's beautiful, even though it is, and it's hot right now to me. And I don't love it because we have all these incredible traditions, though we do, and I take them to heart, and they mean a lot. But I love it for all of you all. Such an incredible mixture of people that come together. A mixture of people who do not always share the same perspective. In fact, often you don't. I was working here, so I heard about it. I still hear about it. But often, despite your difference of perspectives, you find a way to come together. You find a way to focus on loving one another, despite disagreement, on important aspects of being and living in the world. Our St. Paul's community is made up of so many differences, this great mixture, but is still unified in a shared faith. And I really hope that you all understand how incredible that is, what an incredible gift that is. I go to seminary, and it's great, and it's wonderful, but it's a place where you have all kinds of people who, like, know the worst of parish scenarios. Okay, so you go there, and you hear about the very worst, and you hear about some of the very best as well, but you especially hear the worst, or you hear about where other people are coming from, their home parishes. And then I get to tell my story about my home parish. And I get to tell them about how different the people are. We have people that are really interested in this thing, and we have people that are really interested in this, and people on various spectrums of the political, social, demographic. And yet, we come together on Wednesday nights, and we come together on Sunday mornings, and we come together on the weekends to do all kinds of weird stuff and wonderful stuff. We navigate this world together by drawing on our faith and hope in God and persevere in difficult conversations together through the strong link of our shared faith. And y'all are having some of those conversations, and that's what I get to go out and tell my other seminarian friends. St. Paul's is doing the things that we talk about. Y'all are having the conversations about how to be more and more of the beloved community that the gospel calls us to be through racial reconciliation and racial healing. I hear the Creation Care Ministry is working with a diverse group of non-denominational churches to lead the CSRA in a community event that helps address the global water crisis. From my perspective, St. Paul's mission as the Mother Church of Augusta is primed to lead these substantial, necessary conversations in our wider Christian community in Augusta. Our denominational traditions may vary wildly, but we share a unified faith in the God of Abraham, a God that keeps promises, a God of good news for everyone and everything. And everyone is called to engage their faith, to persevere in what it is to be a Christian here today. You may not find your place of engagement through the racial healing conversations or the upcoming water event, though I'm sure the majority of you will be asked to participate. But we are called to be a people in ongoing conversation with one another and the world around us through the lens of the gospel. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.